Hey there, a quick message before we begin. Say the X is finally posting its archive, which is almost a year of shows. For now, we'll be posting archived podcasts 3 times a week until we're caught up. We're still recording new episodes, which you can catch live on twitch.tv/saythex every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. You can also find us at SayTheXPod on Twitter and Instagram, and our website, saythexpod.com. Hi there, I'm Raimi.
I'm Rick. And John's over there somewhere, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you guys. I was... Whoops.
And this is Say the X.
And this is Say the X, where apparently one noob, one super fan, and one guy who's just not paying attention watch every episode of Hunter x Hunter, the excellent 2011 anime. And yeah, so if you want, there will be spoilers, so please watch the episode before you tune in with us. We'll be putting up which episode we're doing that week right here on the Twitch stream. And there will be saucy language. And so if that bothers you, maybe this isn't the podcast for you.
Hey, what episode are we doing?
We are doing episode 25, Can't See X If X You're Blind. And it's a pretty compact episode. Our main trio arrive at the butler's quarters, where they're held by Goto, the head butler, who challenges them to a game that's guess which hand the coin is in, and it gets more and more complicated as it goes along. And the stakes are, if everyone guesses wrong once, they all die, and Goto will tell Killua that they left, and he'll never
I thought they were gonna kill Canary.
Well, first yeah, they she's were gonna included kill. In okay, the, okay. I'm yeah. doing. I'm doing a. a I'm doing a,
He's doing a
quick overview.
Yeah.
I'm not doing every plot point. Gon manages to defeat it by cutting open his eyelid to reduce the swelling and can see all the movements that Goto is making. And Killua shows up and the four friends go off on their own ways. Killua and Gon are together. Leorio is with is going to try to go to medical school, and Kurapika is going to go try to find bodyguard work. And we end with a conversation between Killua and Gon about what they should do next and how they should train. And that's the end of the arc. That's the end of the Zoldyck family arc. Yeah.
There are a couple of really cute scenes in this episode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are some super cute. There's some super cute, and I like the coin game. I think the coin game is nicely compact, and has enough leveling up that it has some tension to it. Like Canary, you know, Canary's not going to be around for a whole long time, and so the threat against her life is at least believable.
Yeah.
But not carried out.
I don't know. It's like,
yeah, you know, I can relate to it. You know, like I remember when I was living in Southern California, I would often be with people that I thought were cool, and they'd want to take us out somewhere, and we'd end up at the Magic Castle, and some uppity asswipe would make us sit around and do coin tricks for like an hour. I didn't like this episode.
Well, it's kind of a letdown after the last episode, right?
Well, yeah, after all the badass Canary stuff, yes.
Well, and tying up the whole thing. And so it's another one of those episodes where it feels like they just didn't quite have enough material for an entire episode.
No, I'll take it back. I like this episode fine. But I did make a mistake, you guys.
Uh-oh. Did you watch the right episode?
No, I watched the right episode, but after watching it on Crunchyroll with the subtitles, I did a rewatch on Netflix with the dubs.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first time I've watched the dubs.
What'd you think?
I fucking hate them.
I don't think they're that bad.
Well, you know, I don't think they're that bad. I don't think the people doing the voice acting are bad at it. I think here's what I said when I was done watching it.
Mm-hmm.
I always feel like the dubbing on anime shows, not necessarily feature films, but anime shows, the voice work always sounds like a children's show.
Huh.
It doesn't matter if they stick to the translation really well, and they stuck to the translation pretty well from the subtitling translation to the dubbing translation. I didn't feel like they were saying anything really all that differently. But there's just a way that they deliver their performances that sounds like a children's show. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that there are only so many voice actors in the world, and a lot of these voice actors don't only just do anime dubbing. They also do your regular television cartoon dubbing, like Western television.
A lot of anime dubbers just do anime.
Some of them do, but some of them don't.
Yeah, but I think this is a Funimation production, also, and they have sort of a stable of people.
Right, and they do a wide range of shows.
Yeah.
For different age groups.
Yes.
There were just some voices, and again, the voice actors are doing their jobs fine. They're not doing anything wrong, but the choice of voice actor for some of these roles just really threw me off. Some of the voices just did not work.
Give an example.
Well, I really like the guy who does the voice for Leorio.
Mm-hmm.
As a person outside of this anime. But I don't like this Leorio. He sounds too young.
Okay.
Something that's nice in the original Japanese is there's still... he sounds older than Gon and then Killua, and he sounds a little bit older, which goes into that joke of like he's kind of an old man in a young guy's body and you don't really know what his age is, and there's all those early jokes in it. But like I feel like if I had been listening to the dub throughout, I would have been like, oh, that's not a surprise that he's young at all.
Oh, okay.
He just sounds goofily youthful. Yeah, it's very interesting. I watched it with the subtitles, and I was like, yeah, this one's okay. Like, I like this. You know, they go and they do the coin trick thing, which is okay. But, you know, like, there's some nice stuff in this, and the ending is great. But then I watched the dub version, and I was like, oh, I didn't really like that at all. It creates a different feeling.
Yeah, okay. That's fair. Mm-hmm. I guess... I've watched it enough both ways that I don't make that translation anymore. They are what they are, and I enjoy the dub. But
yeah, I think if I'd been listening from the beginning, perhaps, or obviously if I was to continue on, I would get used to it and I would forget. You know, like it would be kind of natural.
But it was jarring.
It was incredibly jarring. Like as soon as the narrator started talking, I almost said, I gotta shut this off, but I powered through it, and I fucking regret it. I really wish I had not
listened to it. That's cool. I'm glad you discovered that. Rick, you watch both, right?
Yeah. I've been watching both for a while.
So what do you think?
I never really noticed that. I never really noticed any of that, actually. I just kind of take it for what it is, you know, that they have to get an English actor. They've got to get, an Eastern actor, a Japanese actor. And that's basically where I left it.
Okay.
I don't think that the voices are inappropriate for the ages. But they definitely do play Leorio a lot dopier in the English dubs than they do in the original.
I don't know, man. Like the bit where he's crabbing about his name when Killua gets it wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That Japanese thing is like, wah, 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 wah. Like, it's definitely goofy.
No, yeah. I think it's goofy, but it's almost like a...
like old man goofy?
It's not necessarily old man goofy, but yeah, there's a different feeling to it. Like the dub version almost has like a... it's like the difference between like John Wick, Keanu Reeves, and like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, Keanu Reeves. You know, like the Japanese voice, he feels stupid, and he does dumb things, right. But he sounds like someone who's like overconfident,
okay.
And kind of like cocksure. And which makes it funnier when he's so full of shit.
Okay.
But the dub for me, it was like, and I'm, oh man, that's not, it's a weird, again, like it felt like a weird choice, but some of the other voices I also didn't really like.
Really?
And honestly, I spent a while Googling who did the voice of Mama Zoldyck for a while because both thought it was,
okay, she's obnoxious in Japanese too.
She is, but it's a different kind of obnoxious. But no, I actually
still
thought she
real,
was.
It's it. I don't know, man.
I don't know what it is. I don't know how to say it. I mean, one, I wasn't Googling her because I thought it was a terrible voice. I actually thought it was Susan Egan who does the voice of Megara and Hercules and Rose Quartz and Steven Universe, because the delivery is very, very, sounds very similar to her voice. And I was like, did she do this one too? Because she's done anime dubbing on like Ghibli films and stuff.
Right.
It wasn't her. It was someone else. But, you know, I was like, is that her? And so I spent a while Googling it. No, I mean, but still, there's something, I don't know what it is. Because I don't speak Japanese.
Yeah.
And I'm reading what they're saying. Everything feels a little bit more serious.
Yeah. Okay.
But when I hear the English voices, it sounds like Pokemon.
I don't think it's that bad. I'm sorry, man.
Again,
I don't think it's as jarring as Pokemon. I don't think it's as kiddie as Pokemon. Like, Kilo's father has this incredibly bassy, deep voice.
Well, he's not really in this episode, except for at the beginning.
But I mean, that's a pretty stark. I think both approaches are good because he has a slightly higher voice. Like, it's still down there, but it's not like as rumbly as the English voice. And I actually like Gon's English voice a little more. Like, it's a little squeaky for me in Japanese. Like, it's too young?
I don't know. I felt differently. I don't know, man. No. And again, I'm not trying to say it's bad. I think it's perfectly fine. Well, yeah, but I don't want it to come across like I think they're bad at their jobs. Like, that's not what I'm saying.
No.
I'm saying my only experience with anime dubbing in show form has always been shows that were more appropriate for children.
Okay.
And so just my visceral reaction to this is to take everything that is said less seriously.
Okay. That's
than when I'm just listening to the Japanese and reading it. You know, this has transitioned into, this is something I'm experiencing about the show, you guys.
Not necessarily something about the show. I'm trying not to get defensive. But why don't we move on? Do we have anything to say? Do you have more to say about that, John?
No, I think I've covered that thoroughly.
Rick, what?
Besmirched the reputation of the voice actors.
Yes, now that I've besmirched them.
Yeah, now that they're going to hound us forever.
Yeah. So there were a couple of really cute scenes, but near the end was kind of like one of my favorite. When Killua is explaining just how mismatched Gon is from Hisoka.
Yeah.
And he draws, you know, he draws these little characters in the sand, and he walks and 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 walks. And he's all the way over there. Right. And then he comes back and he's probably like a quarter of the way down the line. And he's like, and I'm right about here. I'm so humble.
Yeah. Yeah.
That switch in his drawing when he called himself humble, and then also the switch in Gon's drawing just before that, where he's basically telling him that he's not ready and he needs to go train.
Yeah.
I thought it was really cute.
Yeah. I think there's a slide of that in there where the background turns yellow and he's yelling. He's like, that would happen in 10 years.
Yeah, right. It's actually coming right up.
Much less in 6 months, which is actually great because that means that we know exactly where we are right now. We're sometime around March.
Yep.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Right, because they're going to
York New City.
York New City.
Can we talk about that for a second?
Let's come back to it because I think this date thing is important.
Yeah, so York New City is we're 6 months away from that, and Killua is giving Gon a reality check. You know, like if you don't train, you know, you couldn't be ready in 10 years of training, much less in six months.
You couldn't beat him in 10 years if you didn't train.
Yeah,
I think that's a pretty important difference that Killua doesn't say it's impossible to fight Hisoka if you do training for 6 months. But if you just sat around and we just dicked around and ate candy, probably not.
Right. And then there was also right before this scene when the four of them are together, and I guess they're on their way to the airport. There was the question about, you know, how they got there, you know, why they used, you know, why they got tourist visas instead of, which now it makes perfect sense why we continue to hear the tourist spiel at the beginning of these episodes is because they're there on tourist visas.
Only Gon is there on tourist visas.
Yeah, only Gon is.
Yeah.
He's the only one.
Yeah.
And everybody else is, oh, so everybody else was on their license?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Because they were grumbling about it. They were like, he won't do it. He just he's an idiot.
Yeah. Well, and he obviously has his, you know, he has his own timeline for when he's really a hunter, which we don't know what it is just yet.
Yeah, we do. It's when he punches Hisoka in the face like Hisoka punched him.
I don't know.
That feels like a long time. I mean, again, obviously he's planning to do it in 6 months or whatever, but
right.
That it's such a childish and arbitrary but deadline he set for himself.
It'll allow him to give back Hisoka's number badge.
No, I know. I get it. Yeah. Again, I get it. And it works great, like, in terms of the fiction, in terms of the storytelling. But, like, you know, like, in terms of a character development thing, the idea that he's going to be that hung up on this.
That's sort of this, Gon, and
again,
isn't it?
Yeah, again, he's tunnel visioned, you know.
Right.
This is what I have to do. I've rescued you, even though they just kind of let you go, and I didn't do much of anything. I've rescued you. Now it's time
his
for me
presence,
to go and do this other quest.
Got Killua out.
That is true. That
like,
is true.
Like
the power
him
of friendship.
To get Killua was a deciding factor in
catalyst.
Getting out.
Right.
Sure,
and
sure.
Oh my God, was Mom upset?
Poor Mom.
The histrionics. Oh my God.
Yeah. Very, very sad. Very, and really, really making Goto work for it.
Ah, poor Goto.
Poor Goto. And I think I like how we saw that really the butler's whole thing is a facade. That they have feelings about their employers, but they've been trained not to express them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't. They seem very human. And can be touched emotionally quite a lot. I don't understand why they ever accepted this job.
Like, better the living rest, garbage
rest,
town.
I mean, the yeah, rest of the I mean, same. I mean, if it's
well, yeah, I guess
between,
so. But
between,
but garbage, but the town that the buses leave isn't Garbage Town. Garbage Town is Meteor Crater or whatever in the hell Meteor it's called. City. Like,
yeah,
right. Like, but they weren't all
the other butlers aren't from there.
Well, that's fine. Get a job at the fucking McDonald's at the train station.
You think a fucking person from the place where everything else is thrown out, people with no identity, can get a job in most places? Like, no
idea. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe not. But we don't know that they're not, that they're all from there.
We don't.
And also, they do have a pretty long resume now of being upstanding butlers for the super famous tourist attraction people.
You think, you know what I'm saying? Like, just going to let a butler walk away?
Probably not. I'm just saying it's awful.
I mean, you're welcome to leave. Just walk this gauntlet first.
Yes, yes, please.
Just enter
Mike's mouth and right out his ass.
I think there's genuine affection there. And I think
your clothes and your bones right out his ass.
Yep.
Sorry.
No. Please. Anytime we're talking about bones and butts, I'm in.
God. Oh, jeez. Oh, well, there goes our parental advisory.
This
is why we make it.
You know, we long passed that one. No, but I think it sucks, is all I'm saying. Like, I hate the Zoldyks.
I don't know.
They're not a very likable family. Like,
no, they're not.
Come on, Zeno?
Everything's a manipulation.
Zeno's Which one of them was Zeno? He straight up tells Maluki that he's an idiot.
Yeah, that's a form of manipulation. Just so we're
no,
clear.
No, like, being, that's insulting.
Being
that,
hateful.
Okay,
being,
okay. There,
right,
that's
being
an
asshole
is abuse. It's not a form of a manipulation. And it's that sort of Joshy family abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Well, yeah. Tell us more about the acceptable
your dad
abuse.
Has never made fun of you in a way that's been both loving and a little pokey.
He has, but he also never chained up one of my siblings in a dungeon and made me whip. Once you've crossed that threshold. Nothing you do is really acceptable.
But he
like,
let
you can't,
them
you
chain
can't pull
him
it
up.
Back. Yes, I guess so in the narrative. I'm just saying that family sucks, and I can't believe you would try to defend them.
I'm going to defend
They're
them.
They're shitty
because,
people.
Because they aren't,
yep, we're waiting.
They aren't shown as particularly cruel. They are acting as they have been taught to act. And they don't hate Killua. And they don't, you know, they. I'm not saying that what they do to their children isn't bad. It is, but their children are able to do things as a result of it. And seemed and Killua at least seems to have some sense of individuality that he can break out of it. And I think there's a certain pride that someone like Maluki has in being part of the family business. And
sure.
And Illumi has the same pride. I'm
applying real world morality to these fantasy fuckheads. But
I know. But by that standard, yes. But by sort of anime manga standards, they could be way worse.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, they
sure,
could
I'll
be.
Give you that.
Like,
I still hate their guts, but I'm not
hate
gonna.
Them. And maybe that's just my foreknowledge, but I.
Oh.
Ooh. Do they have a redemption arc in
no.
a later season?
No, of course not. no, they're assassins. They stay assassins. They don't have a change of heart. But I think as you get to know that world and sort of. I can't.
Are you just saying that
the show has its own morality?
Yeah, absolutely. The show has its own morality,
yeah.
And as a shonen show, it has a certain relationship with violence and difficulty that is very different than the real world, which I think we've been shown over and over and over again during the Hunter exam.
For sure, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I don't have very fond feelings for any of the
See,
examiners
I think
either.
I think you're missing out on some of the fun. I really do. Like by hating Hisoka completely and just being like, that guy's garbage and I never want to see him, you're missing out on a lot of fun.
I'm enjoying hating him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. He's the guy you love to hate.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Absolutely. I love to hate this fucking family.
Yeah.
But it's in a different way than Hisoka, right?
Yes, it is. It is absolutely in a different
way. And I guess that's what I'm trying to get to the.
No, I don't think they're the worst people in this universe, I guess, if that's what you're
pushing for.
Which is
pretty amazing. But yeah, they're definitely not.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I think Jonas the Dissector is probably worse.
Yeah, but he's dead now.
But he's hella dead. Yeah.
I can't hate him. Outside of the fact, you know, like he's not going to show back up. Like when I say I hate this family, what I'm really saying is I hope that at some point someone gets to stick their fist through their chest.
Okay.
Not like I hate it when they're on the screen. Yuck. Yeah. No, I mean, I can't wait till somebody does what they're supposed to do in this kind of a story and beats the shit out of them.
I'm just going to say.
Oh, it's gonna. I know.
That's not this show.
I know.
Everybody's so everybody in the Zoldyck family is a dick, including mom.
Yeah.
So
maybe not the little kid.
Maybe not. Maybe. But I mean, little kid is on their way to being really messed up in the head anyway, because they get to see mom be all hysterical about really stupid shit. Which brings me to another. Another
really
point about
being
the
upset that you're
I don't
son,
yeah I,
who you've
built, I don't know that she's yeah I don't
yeah,
know that
she's
building being,
the whole
I don't
future
think it's
of
a,
the family on this kid like
she's the, but, okay but she's not the head of the family her grandfather is technically the head of the family, although that seems to have been seeded down to the father.
Yeah,
right. So this is still a patriarchy.
Sure, but she's still allowed to be upset about that. I'm saying that it's not.
But what she's upset about is that you know, the points that she brings up, like at the very end, she wraps it up and she says, you know, that she's hanging the future of the family on Killua, which apparently her husband is too.
I think that's
exactly
what she's saying. I think what she's saying is we've all done this, and this is because both Miluki and Zeno, the grandfather, say the same thing. He has incredible potential to be an assassin. And so she's agreeing with them and just being upset that they're taking the kid away from her, that they're allowing the kid to walk away, and that this is an important time in his life that could determine.
But that's not it. That's not what she's upset about. That is not at all what she's upset about. Those are the things that she observes that makes her upset. But she's upset because no one consulted her.
Oh, yes, she does say that pretty blatantly.
Yeah.
She's not upset that grandfather did this or that father did that or that they're going to let him leave the estate.
But it's,
she's upset
it's
that
a
she
lament
wasn't
about
consulted.
How no one ever listens to her.
Poor long-suffering mom.
What? If you're living in a patriarchy, yeah, you get to be a long-suffering mom, Rick.
Hey, you know,
I'm
that's
being
fine,
impressed.
But...
How dare I complain about it? Especially if, as it seems to be, she's in charge of raising the kids.
She seems to be in charge of letting the kids beat on each other.
Maybe.
More than, raising them. So I feel like the butlers have a much closer connection to Killua than she does.
Oh, certainly. Well, I mean, Killua seems to not want to see her again because he doesn't feel like getting chewed out. Like, he has a relationship with her, but I think the butlers have a more human relationship with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think if we're going to start harping on that character, we do have to, point out that, that it is a patriarchal, weird family society that they have, but also the dad is in charge, and I think he's fully aware of everything that's going on all the time with all of them. Mm-hmm. So he was just as complicit in Killua being down in the dungeon, getting whipped by the other brother.
Oh yeah, of course.
But Killua still has respect for his dad.
Yeah.
He doesn't act like he has much respect for the mom. It's kind of a fucked up, like, if we're going to get into, like, how does this relate to things, like, it's kind of a shitty portrayal.
That seems like an exaggerated version of a lot of kids' relationships with their parents. Where the dad is like this weird, you know, power figure, and sometimes he comes in and it's kind of fun, but he's not there a lot, and mom is there all the time, and she's annoying just because she's been there all the time.
Right, right. I'm just saying that in terms of, like, I think you, just as easily as you can kind of bitch about the mom as a character, you could also kind of, like, defend that portrayal as being something that's kind of sad in its realism.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess...
Again, I hate this fucking family. Can we talk about the rest?
You hate this family, and yet you're arguing for mom to have a little sympathy for her.
No, I'm saying if we're going down the road of shitting on her... There's plenty of shit to go on every single one of them.
Yeah, but she's
I don't feel like she's any more deserving than the others, is what I'm saying. Okay. In fact, she's probably less deserving based on the power dynamics of the family.
Okay, let's move on. You wanted to make fun of York New City.
I didn't want to make fun of it. I just think that's a weird decision. Like,
what? They already like that, the world map is already,
we know,
just
it's
the world
a different
map
world
turned upside down.
But don't do that. Like,
don't do what?
I don't know. Call it something else. It's such a weird decision. It's the kind of decision that only brings attention to what they've done.
See, I think sometimes you want to do that. Sometimes you want to be like, here's what this thing is, just to give you a sense of its importance. And like, now you know exactly what York New City is without anyone having to explain it.
Yeah, no.
So
they could have, like, I know exactly what Metropolis is without it really having to be explained either.
Fair enough.
You know, and I know what Gotham City is without
Gotham was another name for New York.
True.
And New York
it's a big, big city.
Metropolis.
Again, I know it's a big, big city. I get what you're saying,
sure,
Randy,
but I'm
and
saying
I'm not disagreeing.
That both of those trade off the idea of New York just in a different way.
Sure. I think my
like
thing
naming
is
it
it's
Gotham
it's not
is the same as calling it York New. I'm sorry.
No, it's not, because York New sounds stupid.
Okay.
It's a weird Japanese way of saying York Shin. Okay, that sounds better.
Yeah, and you can hear them say it. It's York Shin. They don't say new in Japanese. They say York Shin, which...
Right. Which Shin is their... yeah, it's their version of new.
But it's not like the English translation where it's literally York New.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it has a... Yeah, exactly. It's a weird way of... Like, I wonder if... It's just one of those things where I feel like they could have, like, just come up with a new name for the translation.
I mean, we got Pidocchio.
It's important. It's important that it.
It is important that we
because
that
it gets
we know
brought
it's
up. It gets brought up so much.
Like, I know. It's
place.
Just a little goofy.
It is a little.
It just
goofy.
It.
But
you know.
I don't know. I like I said, I like it. I think it does its job. Yes, it's a little goofy, but sometimes you need just a little goofy.
Mm.
Yeah,
that's what Minnie Mouse said.
Well, I'm really
Jesus,
God. It's funny, as I've what heard that before. Like, I...
yeah, I was half complaining because it was hack in addition to being gross.
God, I don't even know what I'm thinking about now.
Yeah, I think we.
Heaven.
Poor Goto.
They're gonna go. Oh wait, we want to talk about the butler?
Yeah, let's talk about Goto for a second.
Well, so poor Goto gets put through all of these hysterics, and then again, the show lied to us, and it used Goto to lie to us. Because he was lying to. Well, because he lied to Killua.
Yeah, but we knew the truth. The show didn't lie
to Killua.
Yeah, Killua shows up first. We knew that. We knew all that.
Yeah. Show didn't lie to us. Goto lied to us. Mm-hmm. Or Goto lied to Gon, Killua, Gon, Leorio, and Kurapika.
And to Killua.
And Killua, yeah.
Lied to all four of them.
Yeah.
But we.
Well, then he threatened to kill Canary. Then he threatened to kill Canary.
Yep.
Was he really going to take her out?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think he's lying to us then too.
Yeah, I think I think if Gon hadn't gotten that, you know, hadn't gotten one of the earlier coin tosses, yeah, they would have disappeared. I don't think it would have been hard for the, you know,
I don't know.
The butlers probably have like a that couch is probably on like it'll flips over and there's another couch there.
No, and I'm not saying that
like Sweeney Todd style.
Yeah, like a Sweeney Todd style. Yeah.
No, I'm not saying the butlers couldn't have killed them. I assume that. I mean, if anything, this arc has taught me that pretty much anyone could kill these three people at this point. Yeah. But for me, it's the butler, you know, obviously says, you know, like has that conversation with the mom and she seems to have his ear. But you know that dad wouldn't have been cool.
I don't know.
Like dad's already told him that like you can go and meet up with your friends and just stay out as long as you want.
You get the feeling the butlers are kind of her people.
Yeah, maybe, but I don't think they would do something that drastically against dad's wishes.
I don't know.
Because I think they're all fully aware that they could not, that mom would not be able to protect them from dad.
Yeah, probably.
So I don't know that he was necessarily going to kill any of them. And in fact, in the explanation of the coin trick, it almost felt to me at the end when Gon does the final question or the next to final question, whatever, about the coin, that it could have been in either hand and the butler could have chosen. It didn't really feel to me like once they explain how the trick is done, it's not, I don't really feel like Gon was even doing all that much. Like it was always within the butler's control to hide the coin in whichever hand he decided to hide it in.
Yeah, but he wouldn't because he hates cheating.
He hates cheating, but it doesn't mean he won't do it. And Killua says that up to the point. He's like, oh, he hates cheating. Like he wants it to be as fair as possible, except that one, being a sleight of hand trick in the first place makes it inherently unfair. But two, he says like, but in like, you know, a worst case scenario, he will cheat.
He didn't say that. He says. He hates cheating, even in a game.
Yes. But again, he does hate cheating. But I feel like there's a little bit more to that statement. That is like he hates cheating, even in the game. But in order to like fulfill his mission, he will do it if he has to.
Yeah, I think I really don't know. I can't point to anything. But for some reason, I think. What that was saying is that Goto's very straightforward. And we saw that throughout the thing where he was like, let's play a game. I hate you guys. We're gonna play this, and if you fail, you die. Like I feel like that sort of directness is part of his character, and we see that.
I agree, but at the end, we're shown his softness and his emotional attachment to Killua, and when they all kind of ways, there's even kind of a passing fondness, like he appreciates that they are his friend, even though he doesn't wish that it had come about in this way. You get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
I get what you're saying too, but I'm saying like, I don't know that we could ever say with any amount of certainty, unless the author of the manga just goes, oh no, it was totally legit or totally unlegit.
I guess that's, you know, like, I'm happy with that. I'm happy with, we just don't know.
Sure.
The motive and the ability to do it was definitely there.
Right.
And he only relented when Killua showed up.
Yes.
Mm. I mean, I take that back.
Again, that's kind of the thing.
They clapped for Gon when he saw that it was behind him.
But there is an element of, like, because Killua comes in the doorway, it kind of diffuses the situation. It makes it kind of like a moot point regardless.
Yeah.
Again, kind of an anticlimactic climax with a lot of, like, intrigue and interest. And that's kind of the bread and butter of this show so far.
Yeah. Where it builds it up and it kind of punctures it. Not necessarily it doesn't necessarily deflate, but it's always kind of like, that was weird.
Yeah. The tracks turn a direction you didn't think they were going to turn, even though at this point I've come to expect that turn. Even then, sometimes it goes and I'm like, oh, I didn't actually expect this turn. I expected a different turn.
Yeah. Yeah.
I knew you weren't going to let us go straight to where you said we were heading.
But but there are a billion turns, right?
Right.
I mean, what if he had killed Leorio?
That would have been...
That would have been okay.
And everyone would be okay with that. I wouldn't.
I don't know. Well, if you had to make me pick between Leorio and Canary...
Oh, that's an easy pick. If I had to choose between Leorio and Canary, Leorio's... I'll chop his head off. But...
So, like, with... There was... at the end of this scene, right, where... Killua comes out and he says hello to everybody, and the difference in the reactions between Kurapika and Leorio. Your name's Kurapika. Oh, you remembered.
And it takes him a second.
Rolio?
Yeah.
It's Leorio!
Dude, really? Just like, I don't know. Like, it goes back to, like, everything that we've seen over the last 25 episodes, where Kurapika is just like, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, really cool, really easygoing. And Leorio's really tight.
That's definitely a shitty, oh, thank God you remembered me.
Yeah, it's a very much kind of like, oh, how nice you remembered.
Yeah.
I feel so honored, fucking punk shithead. Why did I come here?
Well, and we find out, you know, we already know why, because he's completely enamored of Gon.
Well, I think there was more to it, actually. Because when they get on the train, heading out of Badonkadonk, they have that conversation where he talks about what Hisoka said to him during the challenge.
Yeah.
Right.
I think Kurapika... Yeah, but I think Kurapika knows, like, I've got to stick relatively close to Gon because he's tied up in this stuff, too.
I guess. I mean, he's going on for 6 months on his own.
Sure. Oh, dude. Gon's dad is going to be the head of the spiders.
Maybe. I mean, we saw their outline in this one.
I want to look at their outline.
Here, let me see if
see if any of them match.
Let me see if I can find it on OBS. Because I can do that.
Because my kid has a theory that Hisoka is high in the spiders, and that's why he knows so much about them.
Well, I think it was really interesting that Hisoka drops that little nugget to Kurapika. I mean, obviously he wouldn't do that without a reason. Yeah, but I don't know if his reason was, hey, you're buddy with Gon. I want to run into him again. There's going to be spiders in York New City, blah, 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 blah. You know, like.
Yeah, Hisoka's playing a weird game.
Well, I feel like Kurapika is too, a little bit.
I brought it up. It should be on the stream.
Okay, yep, there it is.
Oop, is it on the
stream? It's too big.
Okay, I will make it smaller.
Damn it. Yeah. Nice. Doobie 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 doo.
Ba 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 ba. You can smile.
Yeah, I should set some of these up beforehand when we've got like these.
Oh, that's okay. You didn't know. that we were going to bring this up?
No, I was going to bring it up. It's a really important thing in the episode.
Okay.
There we go. Okay.
I don't see Jing in there.
No, I don't see Jing in there either.
I would assume that how about you guys theorize about this, cuz I know all the answers.
Well, I don't see Jing in there, but I will say that the person with a little flower coming out of the top of their head, like screen right, kind of in the armpit of the flexing man.
The looks taller one by their elbow, right?
Yeah. Kind of looks like an oldish gentleman in a flowing kind of a kimono thing, which kind of reminds me of the...
Netero?
Netero, yeah. I don't really think it's him, but it sure as hell has a pretty striking silhouette. And I will say, down in the far right, the farthest right guy has a very Hisoka-esque silhouette as well.
Yeah.
I'm really intrigued by the one that either looks like they have a vacuum cleaner or possibly a weapon from Splatoon just left of center.
No, that's the wrinkle hunter gone bad.
The wrinkle hunter. and then I also like
portable steamer.
I also like third from the left. Looks like he has on boxing gloves, and I'm pretty sure that's Glass Joe from Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
Didn't Glass Joe have slightly thicker arms? I mean, that guy's
maybe. I don't know what he's been doing since then. That was in the 80s.
Oh, he was what was that one? The one that danced flamenco.
Oh, I don't remember his name.
But you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's who that looks like.
Yeah.
All wiry and stuff, and it even has
two from the center going to the left. That's like Faye or whatever from Cowboy Bebop, so that's a crossover episode. And
the one next to her between her and Glass Joe looks like a pretty buffly Oreo.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. But it looks like he has a claw for a hand. It'd just be a drawing. Looks like he's like a tiny little pinchy call.
So on the left we have two characters.
Uh-huh.
So what do you
wait? Are you gonna just tell us?
No, I'm gonna say who do you think they are, and then we're gonna go through them and name them all.
Okay. It's Aeon Flux and
Samara.
Aeon Flux is kind of busty like that. I don't
know. She's got her arms crossed. I can't tell.
Okay, we got Aeon Flux, and then
it's a Jawa.
No, it's Samira, the ring girl.
Oh yes, absolutely. There she is.
I'm gonna say Jawa is closer.
Ouch.
Oh, what? I'm closer. Okay, good. Yeah. Okay, and then there's Glass Joe.
Glass Joe.
And then there's Archie from the Archie comics.
That's Archie on steroids, man. He's been working out for football.
Well, I mean, not
he's trying to get
maybe
into
Archie
a Division
from
One
like
school.
CW show.
Oh, okay.
You know, and then there's like Faye from and then there's the Splatoon girl.
Yeah. Splatoon. Yeah.
And then this guy's just anime Dracula in the middle. I don't remember. Just straight out of Castlevania on Netflix.
Rick, who do you think the next guy is?
Oh, that's Beast.
Beast.
No, it's Blanca from Street Fighter.
There you
remember?
Go.
Yeah. Here's a question about that silhouette. Yeah. The hair on, I think it's long hair coming down the back, but it really looks like he has like big bushy armpit hair.
That's not even bushy armpit hair. That is back hair that has been combed out straight.
and then the next one is Edna Mode from
it's
the
a super mullet.
Yes, that is definitely Edna for sure.
Yeah, Edna Mode from the Incredibles, and then it's the commissioner. I always forget his name.
Right.
No. From the Incredibles.
Netero. It's Netero.
No. I know you said Netero, but I think it actually looks like the ice dude from the Incredibles.
Oh, Frozone?
Yeah.
wait. Who are we talking about?
Netero again.
right next to Edna Mode.
I don't know. Okay, he never had that
thing sticking out of his hair. But then again, yeah. And then the next one is Harley Quinn.
Really?
Harley
Quinn doesn't have that hair.
It's anime Harley Quinn. I don't know.
But she still has.
Okay, well then it's
you can.
Man, I don't. Yep. That's hard.
Oh, it's what's her name from Beetlejuice.
Oh yeah, go. Yeah. It's Lydia. Yeah.
It's Lydia.
Lydia.
It's
okay. Cool.
Cool. And then she'd totally hang out with anime Dracula.
I think she would.
For sure.
And then this guy next to her is.
He's the engineer from Team Fortress.
Yep, he sure is. He's got the gloves and everything. They're perfect. Yep. and then it's just Hisoka on the end. Like,
yeah.
All right. I think I'm excited for you guys to see where this ends up because
you got to make a Photoshop. You got to
do a
thing.
I will. Yeah,
I'll put these labels on these.
I'll go through and put some labels on them.
Yeah, I think a couple of these could be characters, but I don't know. I have a feeling a bunch of them are going to be.
I'm sorry, I lost that. Say that again.
I said I think a couple of these are probably characters we've met before, but I bet most of them aren't.
Yeah.
That is going to be.
But I mean, it's pretty exciting, right? That's a pretty varied group of people.
Oh yeah, it's a cool set of silhouettes there.
Yeah, I mean that for me, when I saw that silhouette, I was like, oh, I gotta know who these fuckers are.
Yeah. You know?
It's like, oh man, can't wait to meet them. That's a lot of characters.
Splatoon girl.
Splatoon.
It looks like it's either a vacuum cleaner or it's a splat roller.
Yeah, roller.
It's obvious.
Obvious. Yeah, no, of course.
They're going to have a hard time fighting her. She can just hide down in the ink. It's incredible. So they're going to Heaven's Gate next.
Heaven's Arena.
Heaven's Arena. Okay.
Yeah. Not Heaven's Gate. They're not going to. It's not going to.
That was Hale-Bopp, right? The comet Hale-Bopp.
No, that was a different. That was the same one. That was, wasn't it? Yeah, that was the same one. Yeah, yeah. They were going to get in the.
They drank the Kool-Aid while the comet went by.
I thought that was Jonestown.
Yeah, I don't know. I get both of them confused.
Yeah, I think Heaven's Gate happened earlier.
See, I can't remember.
Heaven's Gate was after Jonestown. Because Heaven's Gate happened while we were alive.
Yeah, that was the Hale-Bopp. That was the comet one where they were going to go in a cigar-shaped UFO.
I admit, my interest in that sort of cult craziness is pretty low.
I'd get interested in it, but I can't go too deep.
Right.
Because then I just get so sad.
Yeah.
That's why I don't enjoy most things, though. So.
Makes you too sad.
So, so according to the Wikipedia entry for Heaven's Gate, they still have 8 active members after the 1997 incident.
Yeah, the Kool-Aid didn't take.
You guys remember Hale-Bopp? God.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Dude, they still have their website is still active.
Is it just preserved though, or are they actively updating? This is nothing. This is not the this is a different podcast.
It's been 23 years. I mean, somebody is obviously is still paying the bills. But anyway.
Gross. Our Discord display is a little tiny picture down in the corner now. Just wanted to let you know. Okay. It's okay. No big deal. We're still streaming.
So I was going to say, speaking of disgusting,
great.
That scene with the coin trick where Gon's like, wait a minute, give me your knife.
Yep.
Yeah.
But wow. Then he's like, I'm not going to do anything stupid.
I do like that qualifier. Yeah. And I do like that he's gotten to the point where he knows he needs to say that.
But he didn't do anything stupid.
He did something smart.
Yeah.
But it was very smart.
Yeah.
And again, you know, it, One of the things that I think has made Kurapika a little intolerable for me is that I'm smart enough to know when Gon did something badass.
Yeah, that's been kind of an ongoing complaint of yours.
Kurapika to tell me that what he just did was badass.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying, but he's also kind of an explanation surrogate for people who don't know this stuff.
Yeah, and keep in mind, not everybody knows that you can reduce swelling by fucking cutting your eye off.
Isn't that how you reduce swelling? By just, like, bleeding the part that's swollen?
In a pinch.
Yeah,
exactly.
No.
Kurapika needed to say that, because otherwise people would be like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah, not everyone has seen Rocky. Like,
Yeah, it just, like, it wasn't just, oh, what he did was smart, and he, he relieved the pressure by, you know, cutting the bruise
That's
open.
That's exactly what he said. He said he relieved the pressure on his eye by bleeding it. That's all he says.
There's a little something about the delivery that I think
into,
and I don't agree with him, but I can speak Rick, so I know. But also there's sometimes too often he says it to himself.
Well, he gets too often inner monologue.
I know, but I think it would actually work better. As you could make a gag out of it where he's constantly explaining to Leorio what's happening, you know?
I don't know.
Because Leorio's like, okay, you could take the knife. I don't know what you're going to do. And Gon's like, I'm not going to do anything stupid. And then he does it. And Kurapika could just lean forward and be like, he's cutting the swollen eye so that it will bleed and it will relieve the swelling.
But you know the one
And then Leorio could be like, I know that, you know?
I'm a doctor.
Exactly. And then you've got... You know, then you've got a moment that doesn't feel that serves the same purpose, but doesn't have that feeling of Kurapika being like, oh my gosh.
Oh, Gon.
Wow.
You are so amazing. You cut your eye open to relieve the swelling so you could see. Gush, 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 swoon.
I'm so uncomfortable with this voice you do every time.
It is making me uncomfortable.
but again, I get what you're saying. It never bothers me, but I understand.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's not a Kurapika thing. And like, it is specifically in this show, but it's that what I feel is unnecessary exposition where honestly, I think
you're going to have to get used to that. That's an anime thing. Sort of weird exposition. So if you have that much of a problem with it, boy, you're in for a rough ride, my friend.
Well, and it's probably the reason that I hate certain characters from other series is because they are just expository tools and nothing else. And you know,
and Kurapika is not that.
No, Kurapika does more than that, but he does.
No, I think so. And he has again been on a concentric and Killua centric journey, but. But he has a backstory that's driving him, and he drops some really interesting information at towards the end of this one, and it sets up for some really interesting things.
Well, and we get that I like the way that question is answered, where it's like Kurapika knows where he is, and it has to do with what Hisoka said, and then Liara's like, I've been dying to ask you, dude, but I didn't. I was waiting for you to bring it up.
Right, but I also love that the answer has layers too, because he says I know where he's gonna be, and Leorio's like, that's what he said during your match, and Kurapika's like, that's actually not what he said during my match. He said this at a later point when I was talking to him one on one afterwards.
Yeah,
which again is something that we had no idea happened.
Right.
Hey, yeah. You know what, guys?
What?
Guess where I'm gonna be next week?
Dork New City.
right here with you guys.
Oh.
Well, there's nowhere I'd rather be, Rick. So we'll be back next week. Thank you all. Thank you to anyone who listened, either now, either in real time or on the podcast. We're Say the X. Find us at saythexpod.com is our website. At Say the X Pod is us on Instagram and Twitter. Our music, which we did not play this week on the live cast, but we'll be playing right now, is by Jake Cook. His band Seal Pup has a brand new album out that will be on all fine streaming services. Thank you again, and have a great night.
Take care.